Buenos días, buenas tardes, buenas noches a todos y a todas. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a un nuevo capítulo del podcast de Playmaker. Hola Laura, ¿cómo estás?
Hola Laura, ¿qué tal? ¿Todo bien esta semana?
Bien, bien, bien. ¿Cómo estamos de contentas, ¿no? Con el episodio que se nos presenta en esta ocasión.
Sí, la verdad es que para este episodio conversamos con una jugadora con la que, bueno, hace rato verdaderamente teníamos ganas de hablar. Y bueno, el contexto es nada menos que la previa a este DLOHF Final Four.
Bueno, la verdad es que dan ganas de hablar con ella, la verdad es que todas las veces posibles, ¿no? Siempre que nos la encontramos en los campeonatos también, siempre es un gusto hablar con ella. Estamos hablando nada menos que de Stine Oftedal, capitana de la selección noruega, jugadora del Giorgi Audietto, que por suerte nos ha atendido y hemos estado hablando con ella, charlando sobre esta nueva edición del IHF Final Four, que está pues a la vuelta de la esquina, ¿no? Como quien dice.
Así es, estamos a poco menos de un mes ya para vivir un nuevo Final Four y el Győr es uno de los dos equipos que va a volver a Budapest. Ya saben lo que es consagrarse campeonas ahí en el Paplaslo Sport Arena y Stine Oftedal a esta altura ya es una referente de este equipo húngaro. Y bueno, como nos contó un poco, habló sobre sus sensaciones, no solamente por volver a clasificar un Final Four, sino también de cómo sintió aquella primera clasificación, ¿te acordás? La temporada 2017-2018, en la que bueno, ella venía de jugar en un equipo, IC París, en su momento IC París, ahora París 92, pero es un equipo que no jugaba Champions League, ¿no? Pero bueno, si bien ella no tenía experiencia en Champions League, obviamente lo que ya traía de jugar finales con la selección noruega, eso sí le permitió a ella llegar a esa instancia un poco más tranquila, ¿no? Sabiendo lo que era jugar ese tipo de partidos importantes.
Stine Oftedal, recordemos que es la última jugadora que ha recibido ese galardón de IHF Player of the Year y que, bueno, nos contaba que ella también se pone nerviosa, ¿no? Como nos ha dicho... que durante ese fin de semana, que es tan importante como el de la Final Four, también hay otros partidos importantes, pero que también se pone nerviosa y que también tiene su manera de llevarlo, ¿no?
Sí, la verdad es que suena un poco increíble escuchar cómo una jugadora de ese calibre se sigue poniendo nerviosa ante este tipo de partidos, pero bueno, obviamente también es parte de lo que implica que la importancia, como ella dijo, la importancia que le da también a este tipo de encuentros y de instancias. Pero bueno, como la van a escuchar, también ella cuenta cómo aprendió a abrazar esos nervios y a sentirse, no sé si cómoda, pero a sentirse, a entender que esas situaciones pueden pasar y aceptarlas. Bueno, pero sin más, lo dejamos con Stine Bredal Oftedal, protagonista de este segundo episodio de podcast dedicado al Dilo IHF Final Four. Eso sí, debo aclararles, bueno, internet en Argentina, quienes vivan acá sabrán que a veces es un poco complicada, así que esta vez nos jugó una mala pasada y el comienzo van a ver que es un poco abrupto, por así decirlo, queda un poco cortada la conversación, pero bueno, para que tengan un poco de contexto, ella viene hablando sobre cómo fue la temporada en este contexto de pandemia y cómo va llevando la situación hasta el momento. Y bueno, sin más, lo dejamos con Stine Oftedal en este segundo episodio, en la previa del Dilo IHF Final Four.
So it's been special. It has been, but in the whole picture, I still feel like we managed to get through it pretty well, and it seems like we will manage to play all of our games in total. So that's pretty good anyway, but yeah, it's been a different season.
Which do you think it's been like the biggest challenge in this season? It's been COVID, or it's been something else, or maybe the organization, the system to keep the system. What do you think? What's been the? Oh, welcome, Laura. By the way,
I'm back.
Hi. I feel like the biggest challenge that has actually been just not knowing that things have been so unpredictable, and we are used to having quite a fixed schedule with everything, and we know when we will go somewhere and when we will train and how our year will be. And I think maybe that has been the biggest challenge, just to adjust to all these changes and also put in all of these things with the testing and like I said, quarantine. And it's been it's been harder in this way. And then I also think the hardest for the players personally, or at least for me, that has been the fact that on top of that, you cannot meet anyone. So I haven't seen my family in over a year, and my boyfriend I've seen like once since Christmas. So that's it's not like we see them often in general either. We have quite a full season always, but this year has been very special in that way as well.
So we're in this special episode about the EHF Final Four after you got qualified. Congratulations, Christine.
How do you
feel about it after everything you were telling to us about this special season?
I feel great about it. I think for a club like Eto, the goal every single year is to reach the Final Four, and we know that that's the only thing that is somehow good enough. And then when you reach it, then you have the chance finally to play for that big dream. It's a relief, and it's a very, very happy feeling. So I'm extremely happy that the team managed to do so well, and that we got to that last final handball party.
So Stine, out of the 18 matches that you've played in the Champions League season, four of them ended in a draw. And out of those four draws, two of them were against Brest, which is the rival that you will meet in Budapest in the Dido EHF Final Four. And also last season, you also met them and you tied at home and you won only by one in France. So is this possibly the toughest rival you could get for the semifinals? What do you think?
No, without any doubt, Brest is one of the toughest opponents this year. Like you said, we had two draws just this season already. So in that way, none of us really have an advantage from early meetings. In one way, I like that a little as well. It gives a very exciting dynamic to it all. So I think that we just know that we have to be very prepared. We didn't start that much yet, but yeah, the preparations are already coming. So we will try to be, like I said, as ready as possible. And knowing that in a Final Four, it's going to be tough anyway. You know that, and it's a lot of things that might affect a semifinal like that. So we try to prepare as well as we can. We know that we will somehow still be one of the favorites, but without any doubt, they are one of the biggest opponents this year.
You just mentioned it's a humble party, so we wanted to ask you about this. If you ever been to the Final Four before you were playing there, have you ever been there?
No, I never was there, actually. Or I don't think so, at least. No, I wasn't. But I always watched on the TV, of course, and it was this huge event from when I was very young, so I've always followed as a spectator as well.
Is there any option or is there any chances that you will go maybe in the future after you finish playing, or did you ever consider the option of going there?
Yeah, I could for sure do that. Like I said, it's very often the best matches you'll get within a season almost, so it's a lot of excitement around it. I also think that just the fact that you have these, it's a lot of audience, it's a lot of things around it. It makes it very special, and it's also in Budapest for us. And when yeah. If it continues like that, it's a nice city as well. So I will, yeah, why not?
Do you think Gyor might have an advantage in the sense that you've been to this final championship before, you've been to Budapest and you know about this whole atmosphere and all that, and you are playing against a team that are debutants in this type of competition, but given the fact that we don't know whether there's going to be audience and fans in there in the arena, do you think you might have an advantage, or because you know it might look like just another away game, just like the rest of this season has been so far. So do you think that might still give you an advantage?
always hard to say, but I think in general it's always good to have experience. It's not always you manage to use it, but it's a good starting point. So I think we will at least try to build a lot of confidence around it, and we know that a lot of the players have been there before and they have won these big things, and that gives some kind of confidence. But at the same time, I also know that that isn't enough. You can be as experienced as you want, and if it doesn't work that day, then that won't necessarily help you enough. So I still hope that we can use some of it, but at the same time, I'm going in there knowing that it's not enough.
We were talking the other day about this big event and how players might prepare themselves to it, and we were curious about you. How do you prepare to, or how have you been preparing for these big matches? Do you do anything special? I mean, how's your day, let's say, since you wake up until you get to the Pub Laszlo and how you play the game? Do you do anything special?
I don't have anything very special, but in general, before these games, I must say that I get quite nervous. I really feel really? Those emotions, and I somehow try to like make it as normal as I can and not let me be affected by feeling a certain way. Because I also know that if I'm really nervous, I can still play good. So I'm somehow just having a little this working with myself, and then trying instead to use the others, pull like confidence from the others and these things. And then on top of that, of course, it's a preparation with video and all of these things. So I'm trying to focus more on what I'm actually about to do, like the tasks. What are my tasks? What are the things that will be important for today? And then and then hopefully that it will just come more naturally when you're on the field.
Since I listened to Nora Mark in the previous year, when she said this sentence, she was like, if you're too nervous for this game, you forget to live the moment, and after you forget the memories. Is it true? I mean, have you ever felt something like this? Have you ever experienced it?
Yeah, I have. And that's a little why I also try to normalize the fact that I am nervous. Because I know that I'm nervous because it means a lot to me. And so I try to kind of feel it and then accept that it's there. Because it's like you say, if you go too deep into it, you can for sure forget a little what you're actually supposed to do. And then it's easy to forget to enjoy it pretty much. So I think, and that's very individual for players. I think Nora, she has always been quite good with these things. And or I feel at least that I get a little more nervous than her, but it's about accepting what you feel a little, and that comes with experience as well.
It doesn't look like you are nervous.
But sometimes also being nervous is a good thing for me as well. So it's I'm not necessarily seeing it as a bad thing. So that's the approach that I'm trying to have to it in a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
In that way, do you remember what it was like for you in that 2018 season? It was your first season in the Champions League, your first Final Four, and it was also your first season in Europe. So you were coming from a team that was not used to playing big competitions. You played EHF Cup, but do you remember those feelings, you know, going into the Final Four and seeing the atmosphere and then, you know, that final that was absolutely unbelievable. Well, do you remember from that? Were you nervous at all?
Yeah, I felt it a lot, of course. At the same time, even though I hadn't played Champions League Final Four, I've been lucky enough to play quite many big games with national team. So I feel I still have some... I've done it before. So I was happy about that, actually. If not, I think it would have been like gone a little over there. At the same time, I also felt it was my first year and I played with so many other great players. And I think that also helped me a lot, because you can kind of put it a little on the team and like, you know that you're going to do it together. So that I tried to use a lot, but of course I felt it like crazy. I wanted to do as good as possible. I wanted us so badly to win. So then of course, when it means a lot, like I said earlier, when it means a lot, then you'll also feel it. It affects your emotions a lot, but we managed well through it.
We were talking the other day after the pre-Olympics, we were talking about, in overall, it's something that we always speak with players as well, the calendar. The calendar, the topic is like very, very popular because everyone's got their own opinion, of course. Especially this year, that's been very crazy, and that you have had to play as well the pre-Olympics. And sometimes even when we talk about the finals for some players, they wish they could have another an extra day between the semifinals and the last day. What's your opinion about the calendar in overall, the EHF final four in specific? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think like you said already, especially in an Olympic season, it is quite extreme. So we actually don't have a break at all, and you go straight into the next season right away. In general, I think that is a little too much. But it's also something about that it is for the Olympics and everyone wants to play the Olympics. So for that 1 year, it's fine, but it still is a lot, and it's a lot of load on the players. And I think that, 1 year ago, this campaign, we don't play the players, was out. And I think these things come for a reason, because especially for those players who play on the best teams and on the with national team as well, the load is quite extreme. And I wish also that you managed somehow to balance it even better, just so people could actually play maybe for longer, for example, or that you have more players that won't be out with long-term injuries. So for all of these things, I really hope that it might be even more balanced in the future. But I also get that it's a hard question, because there are a lot of people wanting different federations, both internationally and nationally. So I get that the question is hard, but at the same time, it's a very important question in my point of view. When it comes to Final Four, actually for this one event, for me personally, I think it's okay actually to play two games in 2 days. But at the same time, I feel like there are probably a lot of people that wish it was differently. And if that's one thing you could do quite easily to also help on like the total, then maybe that is something you should, they should look at even more. But like I said, for me personally, it's still fine.
And when it comes to we were talking about the season and how tiring it is and how tight the calendar is as well. How are you feeling personally so far? There was a very long break last year without any practices, any handball, no nothing. And how are you feeling personally, physically? You're playing both the Hungarian League and the Champions League and the Cup. How you've been dealing with this whole pandemic situation? And how are you feeling at the moment?
I think that last year when we suddenly got this extra time off, in one way, maybe that was actually quite good for many players, for the head, for the bodies. At the same time, it wasn't exactly a normal break. It was very different. And also, we kind of always had to prepare for might coming back and might having to play matches. So I felt like I felt like it was actually just going into a very long preparation. So in some ways, it gave a lot, and I could also spend a lot more time with my boyfriend, and it was many things that actually gave a lot. But at the same time, it also makes this season even more crazy. So, it's what can I say? It was in one way, it was a very bad way, of course, to get off, because I just wish in general that a pandemic situation, no one would ever want that. But I feel like at least you could try to make the best out of the situation at that point. And now I think I'm lucky enough to play in a team where we've had quite few injuries this year, at least big injuries, and so we could rotate more. But I feel a little that maybe you see that the performance is going maybe a little more up and down individually, just because you have periods where it's very many games. So I feel sometimes I need to try to accept that a little, that I'm not already always as ready for things. And also the contrast between teams are extreme. Like Vipers are suddenly not playing any games almost, and then we are playing a lot. So I don't know, it's very special. But I feel when it is like it is, I'm in a good place now, and I feel the team is in a good place now, both physically and mentally, and we have the best part of the season left. So that gives a lot of motivation.
We hear you in another podcast talking about yourself and your humble skills. And we listen to you saying that you want to improve the shootings, especially when you enter the defense and they touch you. And we were wondering what the senior hospital needs to improve. I mean, what would you say to the people that think that there's nothing to improve? I mean, but I guess you think there's always something to improve, right?
I cannot tell too much, then everyone will know my weaknesses. but I really feel like in sports in general, and especially in like a team sport, you always have things you can improve and get better on, and that's for sure right for me as well. I think, but yeah, like I said, with the shot, I want to develop it even further, that I can be a little more dangerous also more often from the outside. I'm also trying to work a lot just on these playmaker qualities in general. Like, I don't know, there are this mix between being a playmaker and trying to put others in a good situation, and at the same time also be dangerous yourself. That can sometimes have a little imbalance. Like, it's easy to at least, I feel, lose yourself sometimes a little in it. And but also I know that for the team, it's also so important that I am dangerous. So I feel that I'm trying to find good solution and trying to be better and better on this tactical aspect. And then on last point is that I also want to keep on developing my defense. I'm not the tallest, so it's something that I need to be smart and also use my legs even more. And I think that there I still have many things that I can get better on to be even more aggressive.
And you just mentioned that, being aggressive and being dangerous, and that the team needs to be dangerous. And this season, if you look at the numbers, is the season that you scored the most goals. So which role do you feel more comfortable? You know, you say you might need to improve your playmaker skills, but you've also become more dangerous as a scorer. So are you feeling comfortable in that role as well?
Yes, I am. I am. But it's just something about that you always want you always want to be better and always want to improve the small things. And I feel in a team especially, I think that's maybe the main difference sometimes between team sport and individual sport, because you can train on everything, but you will always have an opponent who tries to make you as bad as possible as well. So you always have to adapt. And I feel like this adaptation and this finding solutions in difficult moments, that's a place where I think we all strive to be better, and then especially as a playmaker. So that's a little what I mean, that as a playmaker, that I also manage to like solve these difficult periods in games or these things.
And when it comes to the performance of the team so far in the season, what do you think have been the highest points, and what do you think you still might have to work on? Because I don't think it's the scoring. The past weekend you won by 20, yesterday you won by 10 goals, so that's definitely not the weak point. But what do you think you might have to work on, and especially ahead of the Final Four?
I think I actually think that the last months we just played better and better. We had after Christmas, we was a little up and down then in the beginning, but I feel in the middle of February and then March, we started to really play better and better together in all phases. I think it's more at this point, it's more about, like, how do you call it, just adjust the small details, because at this point you cannot change something completely. We already put down the fundament, so it's more about just look at the details. And there, of course, we have some things always in defense, but that can just as much be tactically about the opponents and how to solve things. I think that we have a lot of speed in our team, so to manage to use that, that's always a good thing for us. So a good strong defense and then being able to run. Like when we manage that, we're very strong. And then also we have played, like you said, this a lot of games now where it wasn't close at all. So I think it's also somehow important to just prepare mentally for these situations again, and because it will be really close games. I'm sure of that. So to try to be efficient, not get stressed by unnecessary things, and then kind of just build on what we've already started.
You mentioned before that Brest is, of course, a really tough team, and that you were already in the process of preparing the game. What would you say is the main weapon of Brest? What do you think is the thing that you have to keep an eye on?
Yeah, it's hard not to say Anna Gross in this case, yes. Of course. As one individual player, she can score from everywhere. I feel she's very dangerous in this way. But I also think that Brest, they've had a lot this like teamwork victories as well. They have a strong defense, many players who did well there, two extremely good goalkeepers. They have a good mix of experienced players, young players. They have like also a mix of big shooters, good pivots, like a lot of these things. So, and also like in very experienced Bella Gulen in the middle. So I think like they have a quite complete team in that way, and that they're working quite well together. So they're physically strong and they're using it in a good way. So that's going to be tough to stop, but we have to make it.
When it comes to the Final Four, you've mentioned before that it's something special. And was this something that was in the back of your mind when you were maybe a little girl? Well, it did not exist, this Final Four format, but playing the finals of a Champions League was it one of your goals when you were there? And what would it mean for you to have a third title now?
Yeah, sure. I think I speak on behalf of many when I say that when you grow up and you see those big games and the best teams, like that's exactly where you dream of being yourself. And in that way, when you think about it that way, I feel very privileged then that I'm able to do it for another time now, and that I can, hopefully fight for a third title. So it means a lot to me. It was for sure one of my biggest dreams, one of my biggest dreams as a kid. And I think we have a good shot, and it would sure mean a lot. It's the biggest thing you can win with your club, and you work every single year for reaching these things and for actually winning these titles. So it would mean a lot to me.
Thank you so much, Estine. It's a pleasure to have you in here. The best of luck for the Final Four, for the Olympics and everything that's coming. The best part of the season. So wish you will enjoy it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Bueno, Abre, qué placer, ¿no? Escuchar a Estine Oftedal, qué placer fue hablar con ella, capitana de la selección noruega, jugadora del Gloria Oviedo, y jugadora que, bueno, según ella misma dijo, y aunque sea un poco difícil de creer, cree que todavía tiene cosas por mejorar, ¿no? Según su propia percepción, obviamente.
Sí, la verdad es que cuanto menos curioso, ¿no? Porque, bueno, una de las mejores jugadoras del mundo, a la que prácticamente es muy difícil encontrarle un pero claro, aquí cada uno pues es autocrítico consigo mismo y entiendo que nos cuente eso, Estine. Esperamos que hayáis disfrutado tanto de este episodio, tanto como nosotras hemos disfrutado charlando con ella, ¿no? Que siempre es un placer. Sin más dilación, os esperamos en el próximo episodio, ¿no, Laura?
Así es, nos quedan dos equipos, ¿no? Para conversar, dos jugadoras, veremos si nos ayuda, ¿no?, la gente de prensa de estos equipos para poder conversar y poder completar este cuarteto de equipos que van a participar en el Dilo IHF Final Four. Así que, sin más, hasta la próxima.
¡Agur!
¡Adiós! Gracias.